Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
I will tell you where to go. Everywhere leads to everywhere in Lagos. Don't be afraid of getting lost.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and you've heard of Hollywood and Bollywood. Are you ready for Nollywood? The Nigerian movie industry actually produces more features than the one in California, and what started as a low-cost way to fill video cassettes with entertainment is becoming a full-fledged creative and financial powerhouse. Some call the transformation gentrification. Emily Witt, a Brooklyn-based journalist, took a trip to Nigeria to study this moment of transformation, and her book, Nollywood, The Making of a Film Empire, was just published as part of the Columbia Global Report series. She is joined here by Nigerian director Daniel Oriahi, whose Taxi Driver, it's not that Taxi Driver, is one of Nollywood's highest grossing films so far. Welcome both of you to WNYC.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And listeners, we want to hear from you. Are you part of the Nigerian diaspora and part of the global distribution chain, therefore, for Nollywood movies? What would you tell everybody else that makes Nollywood movies special, that should make them want to go see one? What's your favorite film? And you can also tell us how you watch Nollywood movies on disc, streaming, at a cinema. Call us up, 212-433-WNYC. If you watch Nollywood movies, 212-433-9692. Emily Witt, can you give us a sense of the size and scope of Nollywood today?
Sure. Nollywood consists of a couple of different strains of movies. In general, the industry produces around 1,500 movies a year, but many of those are very, very low budget, straight to video releases. And then there's more cinematic movies. About 200 of those come out every year, and that's a newer version of Nollywood.
And Daniel, I see your film Taxi Driver, available for streaming on Netflix, by the way, is about a guy who moves from the countryside to the big city of Lagos and finds he's inherited his late father's taxi cab. And that's a theme in a lot of Nollywood films, isn't it? How someone new to the city adapts to urban life and its dangers?
Yeah, because Nigeria is it's quite a small country, and we have very few cities that where you can have opportunities as an individual. And so there's always this constant rural urban migration that takes place. And I just tried to make a film that could focus on that kind of movement.
So does it consciously serve a sort of social acclimation purpose for people new to the city, in addition to whatever entertainment purpose?
Yeah. Yeah, yes.
But unlike some of the old school films, yours, I gather, is moodier and less of a morality tale, like in Taxi Driver, than some others?
Yeah. So for my film, I was partly influenced by Martin Scorsese while growing up in film school and all that. Yeah. So
you took the name of that film, Taxi Driver.
Yeah. And I wanted to celebrate the guy. And actually, we have a Nigerian name for it, which is in Yoruba. It means Oko Ashawo. Oko Ashawo is a slang that is given to taxi drivers because of their interactions with prostitutes and people of the night. And so that title resonated more with Nigerians. And yeah, basically that.
Let's take a phone call. Oh, I thought we had a phone call already. Can I go to Sadiq in East Orange? Yeah. Sadiq, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Do we have?
Hi there. You a Nollywood fan?
Yes, I am. I've been a Nollywood fan since I was a little kid. Yeah, maybe for more than 20 years.
Wow.
Are you from Nigeria originally?
Originally from Ghana.
Oh, wow. Good stuff.
Yeah. So I was talking about the impact Nollywood has that is like far beyond Nigeria. Yes. Nollywood has an impact all over West Africa and even maybe Africa in general. Yeah. It has contributed a lot to both economically, and maybe culturally. When you go to Ghanaian communities in the diaspora, Senegalese communities, And even when you go to, for example, when you go to Accra in Ghana, there are several stores which merchandise just Nigerian movies, and it is a job creation machine. So I just wanted to stress the fact that it has far-reaching implications beyond Nigeria.
Thank you so much for calling in. And let's go right to another call. Here is Sheena in Deer Park. You're on WNYC. Hi, Sheena.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good. I see you have a favorite Nollywood movie.
Yes, it's Royal Palace.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh.
Talk about it.
Well, about the movie.
Yeah.
The movie, what I liked about the movie, over the period of time, I've watched a lot of Nigerian movies, and there have been a lot of emphasis on fetish things and so on and so forth. But that was the first movie that I actually saw had a theme plot, and we could move on from Royal Palace 1 to Royal Palace 2 and Royal Palace 3. And it actually flowed from one different theme to the other. And there was no, moreover, there was no emphasis on either anything fetish, but there was almost like a living Lion King movie.
Sheena,
so that's
there you go.
That's what I saw.
There's your thumbnail. All right. Very good. So there's an example. And I guess one of the things that came out here, Emily, from the first two callers is that this industry does have impact internationally. It's a Nigerian film industry, but people watch it in Ghana, people watch it elsewhere in Africa, and obviously people watch films from there here.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's so cool about Nollywood is it grew global in that way, really outside any traditional channel of capital or distribution. Those movies went global by people copying the videotapes and the video discs and driving them around Africa and passing them around and selling them. And now the industry is entering into more traditional channels of distribution like Netflix and like the cinema.
Dora in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Dora.
Hi, how are you? Just wanted to say I'm Nigerian American, and just last month on Netflix I saw Taxi.
Wow.
And I completely enjoyed it.
Thank you.
It was one of the best movies, Nollywood movies made. There's a joke amongst Nigerians that you can always tell a Nollywood movie. There's always a witch. There's always black magic. There's always the same soundtrack. There's always, you know, the characters never age, or if they age, they're always wearing the same clothing. So that's why Taxi, the movie, stood out. It was so well made. I think, quite frankly, the storyline it kept me in suspense. I'm Igbo, so I was able to enjoy hearing the Yoruba, the dialect, as well as just seeing how the characters evolved. So I just want to give you a shout out and say well done.
Thank you.
I also saw a short movie called Beriga Sugar that was just phenomenal as well. So I'm quite proud as a Nigerian to say Nollywood is here to stay. And I just say keep doing a great job. We're enjoying it.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Dora, thank you so much. There's a lot of English spoken in Nigeria, right?
Oh, yeah, sure.
So are these films in Yoruba, sometimes English, sometimes?
It's predominantly English. Why Taxi Driver was different was I was just trying to make a film that was primarily focused on the Yoruba. It was in the Yoruba space. So I don't even speak Yoruba. I come from the eastern part of Nigeria. Because I was making this film about people living in Lagos who speak predominantly Yoruba, I had to keep it in that language space and all that. And so English is actually like the primary, because a lot of filmmakers are trying to spread out their films so that they get more appeal and appreciation out there.
Emily, you touched sort of tangentially on what I think is a big problem, which is piracy.
Mm-hmm.
Because so much of the revenue generated by a film ends up going to people other than the film's makers. And, you know, and the finances of the film, too. How big a problem is it?
It's a huge problem because somebody like Daniel will make a movie, it'll get a cinema release, but there's fewer than 30 movie theaters in Nigeria.
Yeah.
So the main way that people watch movies is on discs, and those audiences reach in the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, but because the discs get pirated and copied, none of that money goes back to the people that made the movie.
I read that, maybe this was in your book, that Mark Zuckerberg paid a visit to Nollywood a year ago.
Yeah.
So, Daniel, is Facebook's interest a cause of concern or a celebration?
It is a celebration because I think the whole online space is something that a lot of producers are actually very interested in because of curbing piracy as well. And I believe Zuckerberg was in the country basically because he was very interested in Nollywood being on the online space, because we have online platforms like Iroko TV, Netflix, that have currently picked up a lot of Nigerian films and are getting a lot of traction. And I think Zuckerberg is actually looking at that avenue as well.
Yemi in West Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi there. Am I saying your name right? Is it Yemi?
It's Yemi.
Hi, Yemi. You there? Yemi once, Yemi twice. Busayo in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Busayo.
Hi, Brian. So what I find interesting, I'm Nigerian-American, and one thing I found interesting was I entered a cab, this was a few years ago, and the gentleman who was driving the cab is an Algerian man, and when he found out I was from Nigeria, he just exclaimed with joy because he said he loves Nigerian movies. You know, my Haitian hairstylist watches Nigerian films. A lot of Jamaican folks from the islands watch these movies, and you meet people from Mexico who also watch them, and I think that the through line between all these sort of immigrants and their connection with these films is that there's a certain, you know, certain kind of like village life, a certain kind of like familial connection, ways of kind of operating in the world that's very, very different than what you would see in Hollywood, that these kind of relationships are reminiscent oftentimes, and I'm making huge generalizations, but of what, you know, immigrants themselves left back home. And so I know that for my mother, she watches these movies on YouTube constantly, and it's sort of a way to kind of reconnect and stay connected to sort of like the way that societies in these non-Western countries are kind of constructed. And you never really see that in Hollywood, right? Like, you know, Jennifer Aniston doesn't necessarily represent these people's lives, you know, and in a way that they can connect to these Nigerian films in a way that they maybe can't to a lot of what Hollywood is producing. And I watched mine on Netflix, and my favorite director is a gentleman called Kunle Apolayo, and I really love his work.
I think the whole Nollywood fascination is the fact that you have a lot of, it's kind of like an expose on the Nigerian condition, which is clearly articulated by the Nigerian audience and Africans in diaspora as against what Hollywood had been creating over the years. So I think that has been a strong interest for viewers all over the place. And we as filmmakers, we are influenced by our immediate environment. So there's no way we're going to make movies, be it in any genre, which wouldn't have a reflection of our immediate environment, which is Nigeria.
Busayo, thanks. Now, I see there's a screening of your film, Taxi Driver, at Barnard College tonight, sponsored by Columbia's Institute of African Studies. Listeners, we have a link for reservations on our show page. Since this is at Barnard, what do you want the academic world to know about your film and Nollywood in general?
I think it's the same idea of what it takes to make an industry, the drive of independent individuals just trying to create content, be it escapism, because that's what it was at first. It was escapism, but now it's becoming more of a cultural phenomenon because, like I said, it's that expose on the Nigerian individual, the identity. And that's one thing I have been so attracted to in Nollywood, because Nigeria is a small country developing and all that. So we're still trying to find our history. But Nollywood has been able to stand us out and giving us an identity. And I think every Nigerian, be it in Nigeria or in diaspora, should associate with that because it's something proud of.
And Emily, for your book, to get your immersion in Nollywood films, I see you visited a wholesale market in Lagos and got copies of several films. If someone here wanted to get a similar education, where should they start?
Well, Iroko TV is a great place to start. It's a subscription service like Netflix. You pay a fee every month and you have access to thousands of movies. That's a great place. Or even just to go on YouTube and go around.
Get one more caller in here. I think Yemi in West Harlem is back. Hi, Yemi.
Hi, Brian. Thank you so much. My call got cut off the last time. I just wanted to talk of my favorite film, which is called The Wedding Party. I think it's brilliant for anyone that wants to watch their first Nollywood film. The Wedding Party is a great, great film to watch. It's actually on Netflix. It's funny, it's sad, it's romantic. It shows Lagos in a brilliant light. As a wedding designer, the topic, you know, was personal to me. The costumes are fantastic. It's just a brilliant film. That's what I wanted to say.
Emily, do you know that one?
I do know it. It's one of the highest grossing
it
movies.
It is actually the highest grossing.
Yeah, in Nigerian cinema. And it's a great movie. It just celebrates the great tradition of the ostentatious Nigerian wedding. And
yes,
it's a comedy. It has all the major stars of Nollywood in it. It's a big kind of lavish blockbuster.
My big fat Nigerian wedding.
Exactly.
Yeah actually. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Well, we are going to have to leave it there. Thank you to Emily Witt, author of Nollywood, The Making of a Film Empire, from the Columbia Global Report series, and to Nigerian director Daniel Oriahi. And again, you can watch, you can watch the trailer for Taxi Driver on our webpage, or you can screen it on Netflix, or reserve a seat to see it in person and hear a Q&A with Daniel tonight at Barnard and Columbia. And Emily will be talking about the book at the offices of N+1. Next Thursday in Dumbo. Check out any of those links on our webpage if you want to know more. Emily Witt, Daniel Oriahi, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.